Hello and welcome to Cool Sheets,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
You'll hear all about 10 things that we are currently enjoying in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
Don't forget to get all of our show notes on our website, coolsheets.cool.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Let's dive into our Cool Sheets. Well, hey, I'm Brian Hart.
I'm Karen Holman.
Look at that.
I'm freaking out right now.
Freaking out. We got a new time. We got a shorter intro.
Wow.
Holy moly. Where are we? I have no idea. This is kind of weird.
We've leveled up.
Have we? It's later. It feels weird being like I got to sleep in kind of or the opportunity to sleep in. I didn't really sleep in, but hey.
Yeah. But you think about all the people who are listening to us on demand, and it really time doesn't matter.
That's true.
So.
Yes. Time really doesn't matter anyway, does it?
No. Not to me.
It's just a construct of fake something or other. I don't know.
It's a coincidence that I showed up here at the same time you did.
Yeah.
Let's do a show.
Okay. Well, yeah. Why not? I'll do my first cool sheet then.
Okay.
My first cool sheet is a technology, and it is called deep fakes. If you haven't seen this, it's going to freak you out and make you laugh and make you cry and make you really scared and probably a little bit of everything. That's what's so intriguing about it. I actually kind of hesitated to put this as a cool sheet for a while because it is kind of scary. But they take AI and essentially a human image and put it over someone else's using artificial intelligence. They can do this with video, so it's not Photoshop anymore. This is a very sophisticated thing. And you can take someone else's face and make them say something they haven't said before. So you can see where this can get scary in politics and commercials and things like that. It's really freaking a lot of people out. But the funny ones are amazing. There's all kinds. There's Bill Hader doing Al Pacino and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Cruise. And what I like about his is that it'll be his character. He's on a talk show. And then when he does the impersonation of that actor, the video just morphs into that actor and then it morphs back after he's done. It is so crazy and it looks so good. But my absolute favorite is the Steve Buscemi as Jennifer Lawrence, and she's talking about Real Housewives or something totally ridiculous. But the fact that they put Steve Buscemi's face on Jennifer Lawrence's body and hair, it's just his eyes, nose, and mouth, and talking about Real Housewives. It's just so great. So definitely check out deepfakes. Be aware that this is happening. I don't want to be too much of an alarmist, though. Don't freak out and think this is going to change everything for the worse, but check out deepfakes.
Yeah, this is one of those rare things where I actually knew you were going to do this.
Yeah, very rare.
And
because I had to confirm, have we done it?
Yeah, no. And
we've talked about it so much.
And I had seen those, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago. And it didn't occur to me for it to be a cool sheet. I think because it was so freaky.
It's so freaky.
And it's the two that you just talked about are the first two that I ever saw.
Yeah.
And the Bill Hader, when he goes into Arnold Schwarzenegger, is just so funny.
Especially because he's doing an impersonation of his daughter telling him how old she is. But in an Arnold accent for some reason, and then Conan and him just go crazy about how Arnold should be this little kid and that he keeps doing it, saying baby things and with his face.
I know.
It's just so hilarious and freaky and awesome. But I'm going to actually put a few links on our website because there's a really good video by Wired because a lot of people are really freaking out. They're also, of course, the porn industry is taking a hold of this, doing celebrity like fake porn and revenge porn and like really dark stuff, plus the political. That's actually the scariest. And what they're talking about is once there's the technology is pretty dang good. It's not perfect yet, but it's close. And when it becomes perfect, you're not going to believe anything ever.
No.
And the liars can actually get away with more because they can just always say it's fake.
Ew.
But the Wire video kind of puts that all in perspective, says don't freak out too much. That will just make it worse, and kind of talks about how they will be able to use AI to help hopefully spot these fakes. Anyway, it is just an interesting technology.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth knowing about.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
To know that that can be done.
Yes.
So, and to use it for comedy.
The comedy is definitely a cool sheet. All the rest, I don't know. But the comedy's so good. There's tons with like Nick Cage doing a bunch of stuff in different videos. There was one.
I haven't seen that.
Sylvester Stallone doing Terminator. So he was playing Arnold.
Uh-huh.
And so they're doing really cool like genre switches and things like that. Al Pacino as a taxi driver, as Robert De Niro's character. Really, really fun stuff. But yeah, the Nick Cage was, he was in Sound of Music.
What?
And a bunch of other stuff. But of course, it's really funny when they swap faces to play other genders and do wild stuff like that, because you just would never picture that in real life, and then it's right there for you.
For your consumption.
Yes.
All right, fun. Okay, my first cool sheet. I was first going to, this was going to be a video, and then I realized that this person is, she herself is a cool sheet. So this is a human, and her name is Lisa Nichols. Strangely enough, my sister's name is Lisa Nichols. So at first I was, when I was sent this, I was like, oh, wait, what did my sister do? No, wait, this is different. So backtracking, Lisa Nichols growing up, I think she's about 52, 53 years old now, but she grew up in South Central LA, and she had a kid with someone who then ended up in prison when her child was small, like 3 months old, and she was on food stamps and just really, really struggling. And she pulled herself up out of that. She worked a couple jobs. She saved a bunch of money. And she was just pretty much pushed down her whole life, you know, getting low scores in school and things like that. And she has now since become a best-selling book author and motivational speaker. And people just love her and want to interview her. And so this very first exposure I had to her was an interview. And she has just so many nuggets of wisdom of things that either you just need reminding of, or you haven't thought about in a certain way. And just knowing her story is also really just invigorating. But a cool thing that she has said, she has so many quotes I could talk about, but one of them I did want to point out is that she says to people that, she says, you make me extraordinary to get yourself off the hook, to let yourself off the hook. She's like, I'm actually not extraordinary. Like, this is what I did. And she'll tell her story. She's like, it's not that impressive. I mean, that she did it, but she's like, any one of you can do this. She just has so many great things to say. So I'm going to give a link to the first video I ever saw of her, but there is many more to dive into once you get a hold of Lisa Nichols.
That's cool. I really like that piece of wisdom that she has, that she's not extraordinary, and that does happen a lot with success stories.
Yes.
People where we put them on a pedestal and like, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
When they're just human beings that did it.
Yes.
So, of course, you can do it. There's certain things you can't do. I'll never be able to be as good of a basketball player as an NBA, athlete. But definitely, there's so many things that you can do that you probably think you can't.
Yes.
But that's a really good – it's a different way of looking at that, which I really like.
Oh, for sure.
And how we kind of use it as an excuse to not do it. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Well, that person's just extraordinary.
For sure.
I really like that.
Yeah. And that's she's cool. Always, oh, she says so many things. You watch this video and it's like, oh, I got to write that down. I read that. And I have made so many notes off of that. And she talks about like, so sometimes people say like, oh, you remind me of Oprah Winfrey, but Oprah does this better. And she's like, you know what? if you expect me to be Oprah Winfrey to you, I'm going to fail every time. But if you want Lisa Nichols, then I do a dang good Lisa Nichols. So, and she just encourages everybody, like, just take what you are and do it your way. And there's not, like, all the places haven't been taken up. Like, there's still a spot for you to do whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It is.
And it's stuff you've certainly, I think, have heard before, but just in a different, a little bit different slant or something, you know, a different way to look at that. So
yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. My next cool sheet is a podcast, and this podcast is called The Turnaround with an exclamation point. And this podcast I just heard about and listened to, and it was another podcast that I listened to one episode and I was like, this is definitely going to be a cool sheet. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. It is a show that interviews interviewers about interviewing. So I love that description, and that's really what it is. So it's hosted by Jesse Thorne, who has other radio shows. And this is only 16 episodes, and it's done. It's already done. He only did 16, but he did interview people that interview for a living. And he interviews them about interviewing people. So, and he kind of has fun with saying interview a million times, like I just did. But he does talk to some of the best. Ira Glass, Errol Morris, Mark Maron, Terry Glass, Larry King, Katie Couric, Jerry Springer, Werner Herzog, and many more. And talks to them for, they're about 40 minutes to an hour long per podcast. And he's relatively famous himself. So I think he's known these people for a while most of the time. So he kind of dives right in and he's joking around a lot. The Errol Morris podcast, it's almost nonsense. They rarely actually get any techniques or anything, but it's so funny. It's one of my favorites. It's hilarious. But his best piece of advice is, Errol Morris, is just to shut the F up. So stop talking. Let the other person talk. Almost to the point where they're uncomfortable and they just, that's when they'll start revealing something because they don't like silence and they'll just keep talking and talking and then reveal something really personable. So all kinds of other good tips. Check out The Turnaround.
Ooh, I would have loved to have had that when I was teaching a course and teaching my students how to interview. And so yeah. I was looking for things like that, and I did find a few, but that sounds like it would have been a gem for that.
Yeah, and it just happened this summer.
Oh,
wow. It
was
a quick turnaround, but I think, you know, he just did it. Yeah. I don't even remember how I stumbled upon it, but I'm so glad I did. And I was going to talk about a different podcast, this show. And I heard that one and I was like, whoops, nope, I'm going to talk about this one.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I wonder if it just helps with better communicating, even if you're not
for sure
a professional interviewer,
but
just talking to other people.
Absolutely. You know? Because, and most of them talk about, you know, listen more, you know, but Errol Morris says it in a very funny way, just shut the F up. And Terry Glass, she talks about Terry Gross, yeah, sorry. And she talks about that she knows that she can cut stuff. So she'll talk for a longer time knowing and take risks asking questions that might fall flat, super flat, or might reveal something really memorable. So she knows that going in and isn't afraid to kind of push the envelope. And if it is no good and the person doesn't answer it very interestingly, she cuts it out.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So super. And like Larry King doesn't prepare at all. He doesn't even look into the person, which is a lot of the times the opposite of what you hear. But that way he knows nothing about them. And he just keeps asking them questions because he doesn't know anything about them. And,
wow.
And, yeah.
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah. And he also, I love this. He says some of his biggest pet peeves. He got really passionate about this is he's like, you know, I've always wondered. And then someone asks the question or, oh, another question that I had. He hates filler words like that or filler sentences. He's like, you're interviewing someone. Don't say that. It's ridiculous. Of course you wonder. That's why you're asking them something. So tons of really good gems from these really the all-time greats for sure.
Cool. Oh, that sounds great. All right. My next cool sheet is an article And this actually jettisons off of a cool sheet that I did in the previous episode. So the previous episode, I talked about the Dungeons & Dragons alignments. And so I had kind of heard about that. And then I came across this article. So now I'm going to step back in a different direction. And that is that I write a lot of emails to people from all different walks of life. And so some of them are going to be like other professors from other universities somewhere. Some emails will be to students. Some emails will just be to community people. Some emails will be to friends. And so as I'm writing these, I'm always wondering, like, how to best sign my name to this. Like, what am I trying to convey? What's the relationship? All of that. And so I definitely, like, there's a little part of my brain that wonders about this. And there's a little tiny struggle. So when I came across this article, it was just so funny because it brought those two things together somehow. It was essentially, it took all the possible sign-offs you can give. And then the title of this article is, what is your email sign-off actually saying about you? And it lines it up with the D&D character alignment. And it is just hilarious. And it also made me, like, rethink how I sign things. So if you sign warmly, then that means, I'm overeager for you to feel quickly comfortable with this business relationship and will definitely cross a couple of socially acceptable lines to get there. I hope you think about 2 seconds too long hug when you read this. And yeah, and I was like, boy, I'm never using that one. And then, or like, if you say cheers, it actually means, I'm definitely not English, but definitely want you to imagine me holding champagne in a museum in Europe, toasting to our new business venture into the new year. I do at one point try to wear a monocle. I still use cheers, though. Anyway, very funny article. What is your email sign-off actually saying about you?
So do these actually have any good ones, or is it just making fun of all of them?
They make
fun. Is it just a make fun
of
article?
All of them. Okay. Every single one.
Because there's a big difference. Because I like the comedy part for sure.
Yeah.
I would love like a serious one though too, because it would actually be helpful, which just doesn't sound like it
is. Nope, you're not getting that off of this one. So
I will continue to say warmly almost always, no matter what that
says. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And let's see if I remember correctly.
Although I do definitely change business and personal situations. I will sign off differently.
Yeah.
When I'm doing different things,
yeah,
for sure.
And in terms of the D&D character alignment, warmly goes in the lawful good category.
See, that doesn't sound too bad until you hear the description.
Well, right. It's funny because it does, yeah, it does kind of both in it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Okay.
I laughed.
It's definitely, yeah. I just, at first I was taking this very seriously.
Oh,
I was
no.
Like, oh wait, these all sound awful.
Oh yeah, no. So if you have your message and then it says sent from my iPhone, that really means I read this in line at Subway. And that one is true. Like, sometimes if you don't even put your name, but then it has that, you know, it's like,
sure,
come on, just put your name or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, it's all situational for me, too.
True.
If it's like, if I'm like, yes, if that's my email, I'm not going to say yes, Brian.
You know? Oh,
or
yeah.
Like if there's a quick correspondence and
yes,
it's a back and forth.
Totally.
Yeah. And if I'm on my phone, it says, send for my iPhone.
I'm with
Please
you.
Please excuse my brevity.
Yes.
In fact, I added that part. Anyway. Yeah. No, that's funny.
I have a friend who's her iPhone sign-off says, "Please excuse hippos" or something.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I like it.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that one. All right.
Okay, my next cool sheet is a human, and this human is Jesse Graff. And Jesse Graff is who you would get if you took Supergirl and combined her with Wonder Woman, and it was one real-life human being. And it's literally who she is, because she is a stunt woman, and she has been a stunt person for Supergirl and Wonder Woman, both. But she's the real deal. She's real life. She is just amazing. She's my idol and my hero and everything else, all wrapped in one. She was the first ever woman to complete stage one in the American Ninja Warrior competition in 2016. That really got her a lot of attention. Stunt doubles or stunt people don't get a lot of praise, hardly ever. But when she did that, she certainly, the first woman, she was only the second woman to accomplish the same feat in season 34 of Suzuki in Japan, so kind of the equivalent over in Japan, and still holds the title of the only woman to complete stage two there. So she is just a badass. She's so cool, and she's super, at least from her online persona, she's super nice, and she'll have videos. She has this video where she talks about people that maybe can't do a pull-up. So this is how you do a pull-up if you can't do one. And her friend practice doing pull-ups. Her friend can't do a pull-up, so she gets a chair. And then all of a sudden, their pet pig runs around her home gym, and the dog chases the pig, and they're just laughing and have a good time. They don't start over. They're just having a great time. She's super cool. When she's on the red carpet, she'll do backflips and karate kicks and crazy things during the big giant premiere of Wonder Woman and other shows. She is just super amazing. She has all kinds of records, and she also got a degree in something that I'll find out after the shoo-shoo. Jesse Graff. Shoo-shoo.
Wow, she sounds amazing. I want to check her out.
Yeah, black belt in Taekwondo and black sash in Kung Fu.
Wow.
Pole vault record in Georgia Tech, where she majored in aerospace engineering.
Wow.
So also super smart. Yeah, I'm showing Karen some pictures of her just like taking flight and doing something that, again, kind of looks like it's impossible for a human to
do.
There she is on the red carpet doing a karate kick.
Wow,
that's
awesome.
Wonder Woman in a dress and a full gown, and she'll just do backflips and kicks, and she's just so cool. So cool.
That's
real
awesome.
Life Wonder Woman for sure.
I want to see. I tried doing a pull up the other day. And so now I want to see her pull-up video.
Yeah, she can do like 35 or something insane in a row, 30, 35.
Wow.
I mean, she is strong, super strong. Not for a woman, but for a human.
Yeah.
She is amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, if you can't do one, she's totally encouraging.
Yeah.
Shows you how to just practice and get them up there. She's just the greatest.
Super cool. All right, my next cool sheet. I'm going to be talking about something health-related, and these are ear seeds. These are little things that are based on acupressure, and so are based on acupuncture points that are well-known. And so acupuncture being something that's been done for thousands of years, and now at this point in the United States and for Western medicine, it has been studied by many Western doctors, and it's been published in many journals, and it is known to work. So this isn't like a woo-woo kind of thing. Very well known to work. So ear seeds. So they started out way back in ancient times. They were actually using seeds. And now they make these. They're just tiny little balls of ceramic, or they make them out of maybe plastic or something. And what you do with them is they stimulate pressure points specifically on your ears is how these work best. So these tiny little, you buy a strip that's sticky on one side. So it's like tape. And then there's these little seeds in them. And you get one, and then you put it on, you tape it on to a point that is on your ear. And so it stimulates that particular point. The cool thing about this is you would, of course, first want to go to an acupuncturist, and they would assess, you know, what is wrong with you? What are you trying to treat? And they would show you where these can be done. And then after that, you can actually, once you learn where they go, you can do that yourself. So that's pretty cool that you can take power over that and not have to rely on getting an appointment to go back in. So a few things that have been shown through clinical studies that these seem to work well for, and one of them is chronic pain and especially lower back pain. That's something that I have suffered from in the past. So that's pretty cool. Insomnia is another one. Depression, anxiety, stress are also on the list. There are other things as well. But those first couple things I mentioned are especially treatable with ear seeds.
Wow, ear seeds. I have not heard of those, but that sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something I could get into.
And I think also it's helpful for people who maybe are a little apprehensive about getting acupuncture because that can feel scary because there's needles.
Yeah.
I will say that acupuncture doesn't hurt. I love it. It works well. But I also understand it's not for everyone. Yeah. So this is another way to get the benefits of acupressure but not having to use needles.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. My next cool sheet. Oh, man, this is such a good one. I didn't ran out of time last week. This is a restaurant, and it is called the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders. This is actually kind of a pop-up restaurant, but all of the servers in this restaurant were people that were living with dementia. So they may or may not get your order right. And everybody knows this when they go into the restaurant and they come out and they take the order and they have a pad and paper and they write it down and they go give it to the chef and they come back and they forgot who ordered it and they kind of have to ask. But they're having the time of their life because a lot of the times when people have dementia and that kinds of disease, they just get cast aside. They're either isolated by themselves in a home, or maybe the family still visits them, but it's very hard, and they just feel worthless. And this gives them this avenue to still have a job and do something amazing. And the videos that they show of this happening and the smiles on their faces and on the customers' faces, and no one cares if the order's wrong, and they're like, who ordered this? And they're like, oh, that was me. And they're like, oh, I forgot. And they're it's just so delightful. And so they've done, I think, two pop-ups, and they did some kind of catering event at a food fair or something like that. And hopefully they're trying to raise money to do this more often. I forget where it's originated, Japan or somewhere like that. It's just so wonderful. And the whole idea is to kind of just show that these people matter and that the world is good, and just to be more empathetic in life in general. It's just so wonderful. The Restaurant of Mistaken Orders.
Oh, I love this so much. Everyone involved.
And the little logo.
Oh, I like the logo. I'm looking at it now.
It's just this little tongue sticking out.
Yes.
And the case backwards or upside down. It's wonderful.
But yeah, it's, you know, now I don't have dementia, so I have to just imagine what it's like. But so much of it is being in the present moment, because since you can't remember the past, and, you know, so there you are and you're like, all right, here's this food. And then I love the people who are there have completely tossed aside any expectations.
Yeah, because the restaurant industry in general is high. Like, if someone messes up your order, you're instantly upset.
Big time.
You're sending it back. You can't believe it. You're going to rate this one star on Yelp and tell all your friends to never come back. I mean, it's a real sore spot for a lot of people.
I know. So this way, it's set up where you can't do that.
Yes.
You don't even want to do that.
Yeah.
You're
not there
slate.
For that. Yeah.
And so that's awesome.
And the food's very good. You know, there was a high quality, you know, really well prepared stuff. So they're like, even if you get the wrong order, the food's going to be great.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. Like, just embrace it.
Yes.
And I think they said 99% of the people said that they'd come back. It was great. And they had a good time.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know? All about flexibility.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They had percentage. What was it? Yeah. Because I think it was 80% got their order right or wrong. It was a higher percentage than that. But 99% had a good time.
So. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, love it.
So great.
Okay. My next cool sheet, I'm going to be talking about a nonprofit organization. This nonprofit has had a huge impact on my life and on the life of people who are in the building where we are recording right now. And so this organization is called the Prometheus Radio Project. And so we are right now in the KMUZ studios. And I will say Prometheus Radio Project played a really big role in the birth of KMUZ. They are based out of Philadelphia, and they have a really cool backstory. And that is that one of the main people started out as a pirate radio, and that got caught by the FCC. And what he realized is that his name's Pete. He actually has a pseudonym, and so I'll just call him Pete. But anyway, he was like, okay, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give power to the people. I'm trying to make it so it's not just corporate media. But how about if I, instead of just struggling with all this stuff of trying to make my own pirate radio station, how about if I go out there and help other people do that legally? And so that's essentially what Prometheus Radio Project is based on, to essentially help around the world, because they do it not just in the United States, but they've also gone over to Africa, other stations and countries within Africa and around the world, to build participatory radio as a tool for social justice organizing and a voice for community expression. They do this by demystifying media policy and technology. They advocate for a more just media system, and they help grassroots organizations build communications infrastructures to help strengthen their communities and movements that are going on. And they helped so many, over 100 radio stations, get their license and get built in the mid-2000s. KMUZ was one of them. And they're just an amazing nonprofit. I have so many good things to say about them. The Prometheus Radio Project.
Wow, that's cool. Some history that I did not know.
And they so they did these things called barn raisings, where they would bring in a whole bunch of people. Whoever wanted to come from the United States would go to a station, and they would, over a weekend with, you know, these 100 people, help erect a new radio station. And that happened up in Woodburn at Pocoon when they first started.
Oh, cool.
In 2006 or whenever that was. They did that. And when they did that, they also came and visited us here and talked about, hey, you know, what can we do to help you get going and all that. So
very cool.
Yeah, they're awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. My last cool sheet is some research. And this research is by the Salk Institute. And they are fighting climate change with CO2 eating ideal plants. And I'm going to have to read a lot of this because it gets deep into the science, and I'd love to hear your thoughts after this, Karen, for sure. So the Salk Institute of Biological Studies, led by Dr. Joanne Chori, is working on a project that creates plants capable of storing more carbon for longer periods of time than normal plants in order to help them mitigate the effects of climate change. So saburin, also known as cork, is a naturally occurring carbon-rich substance found in the plant roots, and it absorbs carbon yet resists decomposition, which releases carbon back into the atmosphere. And it also enriches soil and helps plants resist stress. So they are using CRISPR technology to help kind of make this happen on a larger scale. So every plant does this, from what I gathered on the research. Every plant does this, but they're like quadrupling the effect of it and making it much more of a larger root system. Like the roots are actually bigger and deeper, and they hold it for longer, which will help. And once they are perfecting this research on a certain kind of plant, then they will transfer that knowledge and research and then work with the large food crops like rice and wheat and corn, which would make a dramatic difference, since those are the three biggest crops in the world. And it could make a really amazing positive effect on the environment. And check out the Salk Institute.
Ooh, yeah, they do lots of stuff.
Yes.
But I did not know they were doing this. This totally makes sense, everything you're saying. Plants are, I mean, they are the receptacle. They are, you know, soaking in that carbon and building themselves. I mean, that's what plants do. They don't really care about giving off oxygen. That's just sort of a byproduct.
Right.
I saw an awesome talk.
Us.
Yeah, it does help us. I saw this great talk by this researcher at University of California, Davis, who studies photosynthesis. And he was like, oh, yeah, oxygen, that's just plants poop. Like, they don't want it. They just let it go. And we're like breathing it in.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're building their structures with carbon. And so I can actually envision two advantages to doing what they're doing. And one is that exactly what you're saying is that they're just holding on to the carbon more by, you know, bulking
longer,
up these systems.
Yeah, more of it.
Yeah. And then also by it being in the root system, that when the plant or tree does die, that there's a greater chance that the carbon that's already underneath the earth will just turn into soil, like humic substances that are in that deep, rich black soil that's carbon-based, as opposed to, you know, decomposition on the surface level can then, you know, go into CO2.
Release it back into the environment. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And especially because soil is a big problem right now, you know, that's going to be another issue eventually of, you know, the a lot of farming practices that don't put nutrients back into the soil. And this will help that. So, yeah, they did talk about, I ran out of time, that that's kind of the second amazing thing about this new research is that, yeah, it'll make better soil and better sucking up the carbon emissions.
Yeah.
So it is twofold for sure.
This gets me thinking about something else. Okay, so you know how in the Amazon there's been a lot of burning happening, which is a tragedy. Now, one thing about photosynthesis worldwide is that most of it comes from plankton, algae that are just floating on the Earth's surfaces. And so one could argue they'd be incorrect, but one could argue, well, you know, the trees in the Amazon are just a small portion if you compare it to the algae.
Right.
Well, the trees and their leaves are a small portion compared to the algae. But then what about now? I'm thinking, what about the trunks and all of that? There's a bunch of carbon stored in there. And then that has all been released. So it's just like this terrible double whammy.
Yeah, it's way more complicated than I think a lot of people think about.
Yes, for sure.
And I've, with the Amazon burning, I've read a lot about it. I've thought of some ways to incorporate that into the show, but because there's also a lot of misinformation out there and other, just the fact that, well, some people will say it's the Earth's lungs, and the next person says it's irrelevant, and it's a little bit of in between. It's not the only lifeblood that the Earth has, but it is important for sure, and definitely a tragedy. So, but I am glad that places like the Salk Institute and all the a lot of the other cool sheets that I've talked about just coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a silver bullet. I think that what I want just more and more of these ideas and research and solutions for climate change, and that will probably be the answer, is a bunch of stuff.
Yes. And
not
everyone,
just one thing.
And people actually doing it.
Yes.
Not
just like alternative energy, same thing. It's not just solar or wind or hydro, what's the best? It's all of them.
Yes.
It's all of them being the best.
Yeah, and I think and I think using the one that's closest to you.
Yes.
You know, so in Oregon, hydropower, and if you're down in Arizona, solar power, you know, so just depending on where you are and trying to not ship things around the globe.
Because that's not doing any environmental favors for sure.
That is the worst. I mean, I say it's the worst. I don't mean... Anyway, it's not good.
He's not that good.
No bueno. Okay. All right. So that means I am to my last cool sheet. This is a sculpture garden. It is called Queen Califia's Magical Circle. It is the only sculpture garden in the United States. Doesn't that seem weird? It must be, that definition must be like, that's, you know, so big or something, but of a certain size. So it is in Escondido, California, and it was the last international piece done by the artist Nikki de Saint-Phalle, who's French. She was an amazing artist. And first off, I think I just want to say, reading about her and everything that she has done in her lifetime, she was born in 1930 and just went on all these, I mean, around the world and all of the things that she did, and then how she came about as an artist. And then this is essentially her last piece of work, and it culminated in this. It's really amazing. So this, I wanted to say the Sculpture Garden, it's in San Diego County, as I said, and essentially it was, what she wanted to do is draw imagery from her interpretations of early California history and myth and legend and Native American and Mesoamerican culture and her studies of indigenous plants and wildlife and incorporate all of this then into this very surreal garden. And that's just beautiful and exquisite and brightly colored. And these sculptures, you can go inside of them and look up. And I'll have links to photos of it because you really just have to see, if you're not there in person, seeing the photos. But I wanted to say, in terms of awards, that she was awarded this Imperial Prize by the Japan Art Association, and it is considered to be the equivalent to the Nobel Prize in the art world. So that says something about it. I'm going to leave it with that. Check out the photos or visit it if you can. Queen Kalifia's Magical Circle.
Cool name, too.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know.
Wow. Well, cool. Another place I want to go to.
Yes,
now.
There's so many.
So many places.
Indeed.
All right. Well, there we go.
Boom. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.